Come on in, sit back and relax. You are listening to episode 231 of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. And I'm your host, Craig Iskowitz, founder of Ezra Group Consulting. And this podcast features interviews, news, and analysis on the trends and best practices all around wealth management technology. My guest for this episode is Mark Evans, founder and CEO of Conquest Financial Planning. Now, Conquest is not Mark's first software startup rodeo. Prior to founding Conquest in 2018, he was a co-founder of financial planning vendor Navaplan back in 1995. And Navaplan eventually became one of the top three most popular financial planning applications in our industry, focusing on the higher net worth, ultra high net worth, estate planning, and other very complicated capabilities. So Mark knows a lot about building out very complicated financial planning tools. So we spoke about some interesting topics. One was jurisdictional independence, meaning operating in multiple countries, which Conquest does. We talked about their strategic advice manager tool, which is an interesting product. You can hear all about that, and their initiatives around generative AI. All right, but before we get started, let's talk about tech stacks. Now, at Ezra Group, we've seen tech stacks of hundreds of RIAs. Let me tell you, most of them are loaded down with tech debt. So you shouldn't feel too bad about yours. But let's face it, tech debt is like a giant anchor holding back your business growth. If you want to free your firm for exponential growth, you should run, not walk, to our website, ezragroup.com, and fill out the contact us form. Our experienced team can evaluate your current tech ecosystem, deliver targeted recommendations, optimize your existing systems and operations, or run an RFP and help you implement new software to take your firm to the next level. You can take advantage of our free consultation offer by going to ezragroup.com. A few quick housekeeping items that we always do before the interview. Please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Check out investinothers.org. That's the Invest in Others Charitable Foundation. They do a lot of good work in our industry, raising money to donate to charities that are either run by or helped by financial advisors. All right, next up, I'm excited to introduce my guest is Mark Evans, CEO of Conquest Planning. Hey, Mark, welcome.
Hi, Craig. Thanks for having me.
Man, it's great that you can be here. I know you got a super busy schedule. You have a lot going on. So happy to have you here to talk. All things financial planning technology. But first, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from a barrier island called Anna Maria Island in Florida, just outside of Tampa Bay, north of Sarasota.
Oh, that sounds nice. I'm in New Jersey looking outside, just north. I'm just west of the turnpike and looking outside of this rainy day. So it's you got a better view than I've got, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm looking outside at a 9-hole golf course across the street. So. Yeah, a little bit better than the turnpike.
Yeah, way better. All right, so let's kick things off. Can you please give the listeners a 30-second elevator pitch for Conquest Planning?
Sure. So Conquest Planning is our approach to revolutionizing financial planning and advice software. So we've taken approach one engine across all consumer segments, designed to help the advisor select the best strategies. So we got a built-in strategic advice manager, intelligent assistant, and it's designed to provide holistic analysis across all goals: retirement, accumulation, decumulation, estate planning, life insurance, disability analysis, long-term care, and so forth. All of those integrated into one platform with an easy-to-use user experience and detail analysis.
That was a good 30 seconds. I appreciate that. So one of the challenges you've had is you started in Canada, very successful there, a lot of big clients, but then trying to break into the US market with a Canadian-based product. Can you talk a bit about the jurisdiction independence you built in your engine and how that works?
Sure. So as you're probably aware, I was the founder of the Navaplan tool. So we built that product back in the 90s.
I'm slightly not aware of that. Yeah, that does ring a bell.
Yeah, so we developed Navaplan tool back in the 90s. And when we did that, we built in the Canadian system first. So we launched in Canada in 95, built that through. In the early 2000s, we brought it to the US. But when we did that, we actually ended up with two different applications. We had an application for Canada, application for the US, shared some code base, but it wasn't a very good design. When we redeveloped Conquest starting in 2018, one of our goals was to have one platform, one engine, and plug in the different jurisdictional nuances. So the tax calcs for Canada, for the US, the different retirement vehicles for those jurisdictions. We've got a UK version in production, a Canadian version in production, and now we're launching a US version. Well, we've launched it already, and we're continuing to extend that. So we want one engine so that when we add agnostic or generic functionality, all of the jurisdictions automatically inherit that. And that was a key aspect for us. We've also using an agile development approach now. So we launched in production in October 2020 in Canada, and we've done monthly releases every month since. So we're coming up on 3.5 years of monthly production releases. That's not just bug fixes and little nuances, but major new functionality every month in all the jurisdictions.
Time flies, man. It's already, so it's three plus years since you launched in Canada.
Yeah, we launched, we started the company in the fall of 2018. We are in production in Canada 2 years later in the fall of 2020. Production in the UK in early 2022. And now in early 2024, we've launched in the US market.
It's incredible. That's the benefit of a startup, right? You don't have all the legacy. You know, that's one thing we talk about a lot is when you're very successful, like Navaplan was very successful. The more successful you are, the more legacy clients and legacy code you're building up.
Well, and the other aspect is this is our second time doing it. So we learned from our wins and our mistakes the first time around. One of the key things was it is for the long run. You are going to be doing this over a number of years. You have to build the right foundation so that you can continue to build on top of that. And when we built Navaplan, we kind of did it blindly. We didn't know what was going to be asked for us next. Somebody asked, okay, yeah, this function. I'm like, sure, we can do that. And you build something that, you know, over time, the foundation is pretty shaky. And this time around, we put the hooks in and the piles in, so to speak, to build this out, knowing that we're going to eventually have to add additional functionality, and allowed us to continue to do that without rocking the foundation to the point where it became brittle and would break.
You mentioned decumulation. That caught my ear. Yeah. Can you talk a bit about how that works? Because that could be there are some companies that just do that. That's all they do is deliver a decumulation. We look at that as somewhat of a portfolio rebalancer. Is yours a rebalancer of portfolios, or is it some other type of decumulation calculator?
It's designed to build into the plan to allow you to say, okay, you're going to build wealth up to a certain point in time, and then you're going to draw down from that wealth. And the keys there is to look at, obviously, from a tax planning perspective, what's the most tax effective way to draw that money out in order to balance your taxation over your lifetime, to look at different aspects that could be impacted from that. So our engine does all of those, all that analysis, and that SAM intelligent assistant I spoke of looks at different strategies for the advisor. And instead of having the advisor have to trial and error different approaches, we do it all in the background for you and show you which is best for that particular client, because it's very client centric in terms of what client holdings do they have. Like, do they have Roth IRAs, IRAs, 401ks, what kind of non-qualified plans and so forth, and what amounts, and in over their lifetime of their retirement, how should they maximize that in terms of making their funds last as long as possible? But then that also, depending on the client, funnels into estate planning. Where do they want to leave wealth, and from an estate planning perspective, and so forth.
So is that more similar to how a portfolio rebalance would work, but just in reverse, or is it some other type of tool?
It's not really the portfolio rebalance. It's more looking at from a strategic perspective at a holistic level on the accounts that you have, and saying, okay, the asset allocation is a separate function that flows into that. But we want to look and say, we need to draw down. There's obviously minimum distributions that need to be taken out at certain age points. But there's points like, for example, if you're going to delay your Social Security so you get more paid out, but you want to retire, you know, previous to that start date, you've got to pull money out to fund that gap. right? Until you start getting your Social Security. And then once you get Social Security, what money should you be taking out at that point in time? And then the taxation levels and the different tax brackets and so forth. So it can be a very complicated calculation, and it changes if you start doing things during the accumulation phase for a client. Mm-hmm. That could change the distribution of the assets and the different types of account balances. Okay, now how does that affect how you're going to withdraw? So we've integrated all that together.
It's impressive. That's a lot of work. Having helped some firms do that, there's a lot going on in the back end of that.
Yeah.
Can we talk a bit? Another thing you mentioned was life insurance. So that's a big issue, I know, for a lot of our clients, and trying to integrate that into the planning process. What approach did you take to doing that?
So we've got a simple approach where you can just, you know, ballpark and say, well, okay, if someone was to pass away, what would the shortfall be? Mm-hmm. But we also have an integrated right into the plan where we can simulate someone passing at a certain point in time. It could be today, it could be 5 years from now, it could be 10 mm-hmm. years from now. And then we showcase what happens from a cash flow perspective in terms of, okay, we've lost their income sources if they were working. Do we want expenses to go down a bit because there's only one person left in the family? Or do we want expenses to go up a bit because now you need childcare because that person who passed was actually the parent looking after the kids? There's all these different functions and levers that you can pull, and you can simulate that. So it becomes like a what if integrated into the plan, and we showcase, okay, here's what the impact is. And then we can calculate, well, here's the kind of insurance coverage you would need to fill that shortfall, that gap. And then once you put that into the plan, the premiums and so forth become now expenses into the plan. And then, so that's from a typical, you know, looking for, well, the risk of somebody passing in the shortfalls, but you can also look at it from a strategic wealth building perspective. Okay, I want to buy a universal life policy so that I will have a wealth transfer that's insurance based. Well, normally the premiums of those are going to be much higher than term insurance and so forth. So now you want to see whether or not you can actually afford those premiums to buy that policy. That has to be injected into the plan. It might even span into the retirement period. And you want to be able to show the client that they can actually support these, what appears on paper to be relatively large premiums. But in the end, that's going to fund your investment on the insurance policy.
That's complicated.
So we have all those capabilities.
And can the advisor also buy the life insurance or the life insurance or other insurance products through the platform?
No, we don't do any of the actual fulfillment, but what we've done is we've converted the plan into a series of to-dos. So all the strategies translate into to-dos, actions, whether it's set up a new account. Like, for example, if you didn't have a Roth IRA, set up a new Roth IRA and start making this regular contribution to it. So then we push those actions and we integrate those actions into the ecosystem of the organizations we deal with so that they can be pushed out as fulfillments that ideally can be executed electronically, and away we go. And then, for example, in the life insurance side, I'd say, well, we need a policy of this size for this individual, push that out to a life insurance tool that can now go through the process of validating the exact cost of that particular policy.
Do those action items go out to the CRM?
They can, in the implementations we have, they're often pushed back to the CRM because that's the system of record and that's where the actions can be tracked. And then they get integrated into other actions you may have associated with that particular client. So that's typically the approach that happens. There are some cases where they get pushed out into electronic fulfillment components and then pushed back into the CRM as well.
Interesting. You mentioned expense gaps. Do you also support annuities?
Yes, we support annuities and showcase, and that's part of our stochastic analysis. Does that shows the benefits of annuities, right? Obviously, if you have a portfolio that is very aggressive and you showcase the stochastic impact of changing return rates based on risk and so forth over time, that's going to be much more sensitive. If you start layering in fixed income products that have guarantees to them, now all of a sudden you're insulating the client and you can match that up, particularly if you can match that up to their non-discretionary expenses. So if I can cover your non-discretionary or mandatory expenses with guaranteed income sources, and then I have your non-discretionary expenses generated or supported by your discretionary assets that allow flexibility and are more volatile, but also you're now matching it up to things that you have the choice of, I'm not going to spend that, or I'm not going to spend that particular year. So we do all of those, that type of analysis as well.
Stochastic analysis is no joke.
Yeah.
So we've got that. So we, you also mentioned building this and using the same calculation engine across all consumer segments. That's also not common. Why right. did you do that, and how do you manage? Because there's, if you're talking about a higher net worth client segment, it's a very, very different calculation and requirements than mass affluent.
Right. So the approach that we took, and so first of all, our strategy was there's too many people that are not getting access to advice, because the current model where you typically sit down with an advisor one-on-one just doesn't scale as you get down below a certain level of wealth, right? It's just not, there's not enough fees involved, revenue involved for the organization or the advisor. So they're pushed down to another group, whether that's another set of advisors that just really don't have the experience or the training, or they're left to use some calculator tools that are available to them. So what we wanted to do is come up with a solution where we can use technology to make things much more efficient and effective. So we built this engine that's sophisticated, but we allow the engine to scale down by just shutting off certain strategies that are not applicable to those lower end clients and allow that to be delivered in a self-directed or hybrid advice approach. So we have a platform that allows clients to go and access it directly. And then if they need to, they can reach out to hybrid advisors that can give them advice collaboratively. And then once they're recognized or determined that these clients need more in-depth advice, we can move them into the traditional advisor relationship. So that kind of moving across during their lifetime, and that can happen over a series of years, or it can happen quickly if they inherit wealth, or they sell a business and all of a sudden they've got a lot of wealth. They can move from a simple client situation to a more complex one. And a key of doing that is the strategy-centric approach that we have. For a high net worth client, there'll be a whole list of strategies that could be applied to them because their situation is more complicated. For a more simplified client that doesn't have a lot of wealth, doesn't have a lot of moving parts in their plan, the amount of strategies that are applicable to them is much smaller. And our engine automatically determines the applicability of these strategies and serves them up to the client so that we can keep it simple or go to more in-depth depending on the sophistication of the client plan. We've delivered this in several situations now where large organizations are having that. And we don't do self-directed ourselves. We do it through organizations. So we have a self-directed capability that they can either brand out of our platform, or they can use our APIs and construct their own user experience and control that, embed that into their existing client portals they have to expand the advice capabilities that they can deliver.
Can you expand on clients accessing your calculation engine directly? Where would they do that? I imagine through the advisor's website, through the portal.
Usually through the organizations that we deal with, they either the platform that we out of the box we provide it, or if they're a bigger organization, they'll tailor it and embed it into their ecosystem. But they access a client portal, either the client portal they already have and we're exposed within that client portal, or if they don't have a client portal, they can use our out of the box portal and they get access to it, and they can do either a single goal or they can do multi-goal capabilities. So the direct to client can have a simplified retirement capability. You can look at debt management, you can look at funding education and so forth. And then that can then migrate to advisors when they discover that, this client actually has more wealth than we thought they had. They're quote unquote worth our investment to move them to a deeper relationship. And the whole planning process allows organizations, advisors to discover this about clients and have a better understanding of what that client actually represents in terms of potential revenues, but also potential deeper relationships.
You mentioned hybrid advisors. That can mean a couple things. What do you mean by a hybrid advisor, and how do you move them to the traditional advisor relationship?
Yeah, so hybrid advisor, usually what we do there is when you're dealing with the self-directed set of clients, you want them to have some sort of support. So there's typically a call center or a set of advisors that they don't have dedicated clients. Any of those advisors could work with any of the clients at any given time. And that allows you to have that flexibility that these self-directed clients, if they run into issues or questions they have, or they want some more in-depth advice, the hybrid advisors can jump in. Collaborative platform can either be in real time or asynchronously, and they can layer in additional strategies, expand on the strategies the client is already playing around with. And they can also then say, oh, I've discovered this client needs a deeper relationship, so they can move them through the platform to a dedicated advisor, or a higher net worth advisor that can deal with their more in-depth needs. And the beauty is the experience for the client is seamless. They see the same platform. All they're seeing is more in-depth strategies being served up to them. In the traditional approach in organizations like this, the first self-directed experience would be a set of calculators. Then it might be, oh, I've got a retail tool that I deal with. And then I get to, oh, now I'm going to a high net worth tool. It's three different tools that the client has to experience. Might even start from scratch in terms of the planning process each time. And in our situation, it's no, we just migrate you across to the next best level of advice for you. And who should deliver that advice? But for the client, it seems like I'm just getting more in-depth advice in the same platform, same experience that I've been used to from day one when I started with this organization.
I want to pivot onto something you mentioned, the Strategic Advice Manager, or SAM, and the underlying AI engine that helps advisors choose strategies. Can you explain how that works and how is it better than the way advisors are choosing strategies now?
So the way advisors choose strategies right now is they'll typically be able to simulate or emulate any kind of strategy, whether it's delaying Social Security that we talked about earlier, saving more, moving money from one type of qualified asset to a non-qualified asset, adding insurance, changing your expenses, changing your retirement date, and so forth. So all these different ways that they can modify the plan are considered strategies. The problem right now, though, is the advisor, when they load all the data in for a client, either electronically or manually, now they have a starting point. Now they want to look and say, well, what strategies are best for this client? Well, they have to play around with that. Let's try what would happen if we save more to their 401k. Okay, we see what the impact is. Well, what if we save some or all of that to a Roth IRA instead? Or what if we save that into a non-qualified investment? What if we made them work a year longer? What if we downsize their house 5 years after they retire, or 10 years after they retire? All of this takes time for the advisor to try these things out, see what the impact is. What SAM does is runs all these strategies in real time in the background and serves up the list of strategies for that client and what the relative impact is for each strategy. How much it moves the needle on retirement or education goal or legacy, what your net estate will be, and so forth, and shows them all that. You pick the strategy that you want to choose from that list, apply it, that changes the plan and recalculates all the strategies again and shows you the next best set of strategies. And you can pick that strategy. Doesn't have to be the top one on the list. It can be something saying, well, I don't want to pick the top one because that's downsizing the house and they don't really want to do that right now. So I'm going to look at, well, what if we were to reduce your retirement expenses slightly? What would the impact be? And show them those aspects of it. And so it's this real time showing the impact of a series of strategies so that you can get guidance as to which strategies are best for the given client you're working with.
It seems really handy to have.
Yeah, and we think of it like a caddy relationship. The SAM is not building the plan. The caddy doesn't take the shots, the golfer takes the shots, but the caddy is there saying, hey, you know, we've got wind coming in here, we've got a green that you know, has undulations going this way, there's a sand trap in front, these are the things that we should consider. You know, I think you should either choose your 6-iron or your 7-iron on this, and then ultimately the golfer is going to make the final decision and take the shot, but the caddy is there to make sure that they go, oh, right, that's right, there's a slope on the back of the green there. If I hit this too far, it's going to roll right off the back.
So a caddy uses his or her extensive experience playing those courses and how the golfer they work with shoots and how they play to decide what club to use and how to play a certain hole. What is the underlying technology behind SAM? What is the AI? Is it machine learning, predictive analytics? What are you doing back there?
We built our own solution on this, so we built it. It's more of a brute force AI to generate the search space of possible solutions and the impact of that. And then what we've done, the benefit of this is all of these strategies, when you apply them, the plans that are in the database for an organization have a series of strategies, and we know which strategies were applied for each client, and we know the impact of those strategies. So we can actually now do analytics across the organization, across clients, to say, well, how many clients delayed their Social Security? And what was the average impact of delaying Social Security for clients? We can also do things like, oh, which clients haven't delayed their Social Security? Inject that strategy into their plans, hypothetically, and show us which ones would benefit the most. Populate that list out, then fire it to a CRM, allow the advisors now to know which clients to reach out to, saying, hey, we've got a good strategy for you here, looking at delaying your Social Security, just an example, and we know it's going to have an impact for them. As opposed to, let's call all our clients and talk to them about delaying Social Security. They come in the office and we go, doesn't really work for you, Craig. I got some other stuff for you. So this way you can actually do the analytics in depth using the engine and provide that kind of insight for advisors and for organizations.
So is that something the system would remind advisors to do? Is it at the advisor level or the firm level where it says, here's the
Right
client
now, we're doing this
haven't
at the
played?
firm level, but it will be pushed probably sometime next year down to the advisor level. So the advisor will be able to do those analytics themselves too.
It seems more useful at the firm level because then you want to nudge the advisors. Hey, you've got 13 clients that could delay retirement. Here's why they should do it.
And it also allows organizations to do compliance reviews electronically because we can say, okay, are there strategies out there that have not been provided to clients that should have been provided to clients, right? That kind of analysis is not provided in any other tools out there. Without doing a manual, let's audit a particular plan and see if it's good enough for this client.
Yeah, you could run. Well, does it run automatically to say, hey, there's these clients every 6 months or so to say, hey, these clients should be delaying Social Security, you should call them.
Yeah, you can do it either automatically or you can do it as needed. Like you can just say, I want to run this analytics. So we've got a whole BI, business intelligence interface that allows organizations to run out of the box reporting that we provide, but they have access to the engine for bigger organizations that want to integrate those analytics into their holistic view of their organizations as well. So it's very flexible capability.
Do you know what the underlying tech is in that BI capability? Is it third party or did you build that yourself?
It was third party,
Gotcha.
but it uses our data, but it's a third party capability that we provided. We didn't want to build that analytic
Yeah, I
engine.
was
And
going
it
to say.
also the extension that you can just use the tool yourself if you want to as an organization and expand what we provided. So all we do is take the data, we provide that data, we extract that data and all the relevant components of that into a database that can then be, all the analytics are run on it, use that third party tool.
Yeah, that's a smart move. Do you know what that tool is, that BI tool you built on top of?
Slipping my mind right now. I think it's a Google product, to be honest.
No worries. Just wondering. All right, so let's wrap up with one final bit. You mentioned you're doing some work with generative AI and LLMs. So how is that going to be fit into your platform and helping advisors?
So what we're looking at was when sort of the ChatGPT craze started off last year, we looked at how could we leverage this kind of technology to further enhance the usability of our tools. So the first thing we've looked at is how can we use something that's called semantic search. So We allow the user to have a voice interaction, and they can type it in if they want to into a interaction with Sam, or they can just speak to Sam and have Sam speak back. So you can say things like, you're building the plan and go, well, what if this client lived 10 years longer? So we have a what if capability in the tool where normally you would have to go to the stress test session. You'd have to pull and say, oh yeah, I want to look at what ifs. You'd have to say the lo live longer what if and set it to 10 years, and then you'd see what the impact was. But if you just say it to Sam, anywhere you're anywhere in a system, you say, what if this client lived longer? It automatically interprets that as a live longer what if strategy or stress, sets it up, generates it, shows you on screen right there. The impact. And with all of our what ifs, shows the kind of strategies that would be applicable to maybe reduce the exposure or enhance their ability to fund living longer. So that kind of capability is the first thing we've built. That's going into production in about 2 months. We've also been working with large language models so that you can ask questions about the plan. Okay, so I've got all this detailed information about the plan, I've got all the strategies in there, and I can see the impact. But if I see a graph where, normally you get these graphs where it's an area graph, it builds up, hits retirement, then it starts to draw down during retirement through to life expectancy most of the time. And ideally, you want that drawdown to go past life expectancy in order to show that you can fund all your retirement. But there could be blips on the graph. So, for example, there might be all of a sudden the graph is going down, and then it pops back up again and it starts going down. Well, what's happening in that blip? So you can ask, well, what's happening in that graph where it all of a sudden spikes up? And it'll do the analytics, come back and say, oh, you're downsizing your house is the strategy you had there. And it'll analyze the information there and say, you're downsizing from $1 million house to a $500,000 house. You've invested the $500,000, and that increased your retirement savings from $750,000 to $1.25 million at age 80, and that's allowing you to fund your retirement. So all of that information is there in numbers, but using a large language model, we can fire all that information to it, and it'll come back with a nice client-friendly explanation. And that explanation is not just for the client, it's also for the advisor, because they might not be aware or forget that, oh, that blip is due to the downsize strategy. And they also want to know, well, what are the details? How much is the house worth projected out at that point in time? What is the net capital that we're going to get when we downsize? All that information is available if I ran a bunch of reports, but if I run a whole bunch of reports, I need to know which reports to run. The client's head is spinning when they see all these reports flipping up on screen, and all I really want is five or six key pieces of information and present it to me in a nice user-friendly fashion.
Isn't that all anyone wants, Mark? Just give us everything in a nice user-friendly fashion.
Exactly. And the problem is, the more sophisticated the plans get, the harder it is to do that typically. And what ends up happening is you just run more and more reports, and that becomes harder and harder to understand. The beauty of these large language models is they can take large amounts of data, find the interactions with them, and they can present it in a client-friendly, advisor-friendly fashion.
Technology is getting better and better. And think about, we've only had generative AI really working for a year and a half, and look where we are so far.
And the beauty of that is they continue to expand that capability, right? So our engine is doing all the calculations. The generative AI models aren't doing the calculations, but we're leveraging them to take all this complicated calculations and present it in a very friendly fashion. And the other thing we're looking at later this year is to be able to generate a client report or client presentation automatically by asking you, okay, generate me a summary level presentation, PowerPoint presentation. It'll grab all the pieces, build the presentation, show it to you right there on screen. So you, as the advisor, don't have to build the presentation.
I can't wait to see that. Put me on a list for a demo as soon as that's ready.
Will do.
Awesome. Mark, you've said it all here. Where can our listeners find more information about Conquest Planning?
Come to our website, conquestplanning.com, or they can contact me directly at mark@conquestplanning.com.
You are accessible. Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate your time here.
Great, great talking to you, Craig.
Hey, it's Craig again. Here are my top three takeaways from this episode. So, actually, you're going to get a bonus. Top four takeaways. Number one, jurisdictional independence. Conquest built a single platform and a single engine that it can plug in different countries' tax rules, retirement vehicles, etc., and still run everything in each jurisdiction according to the regulators. Now, this allows efficient expansion into new markets compared to, you know, his lessons learned at Navaplan, where they built a separate model for a Canadian market, one model for the US market. Then they had to manage two engines, which became untenable. So a good move there. Two, serving all customer segments. Back to that same engine, they can not only serve multiple jurisdictions, but can scale up or down in sophistication to serve clients across multiple wealth segments. Three, the strategic advice manager, really interesting product. Advisors can test different strategies to see the impact on clients' plans, sort of a what-if playground area. Now, they also use some AI to rapidly analyze strategies and recommend the optimal ones for each client. And speaking of AI, they have some generative AI initiatives. They're testing it for semantic search and summarizing context of financial plans into plain language. And they're also looking at using large language models to auto-generate client presentations from their financial planning data. All right. That's it. You've reached the end of another episode of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. Thanks for listening. Please go to our website, ezragroup.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and sign up for our newsletter. Once a month, you'll receive an email chock full of wealth management goodness, news, information, updates. You will not be disappointed. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you all again next time.